to a whole other planet. And I return here very, very slowly getting my bearings. And the planet is just the rest of the country and Florida and Miami and all the gas stations and rest stops. And, you know, we were in Missouri the day before the shooting. And just the great world moved on in a way that I know, and probably we all know, what a heavenly realm we live in here. And but traveling in the rest of the country, it was a whole other experience. Incredibly beautiful land formations, and the skies and the weather. Incredibly friendly people who had a variety of accents. I didn't visit Dharma centers because this was a family-based trip. So I'm just very struck by, and again, inspired to look at how we liberate ourselves in the midst of the huge catastrophe of modern life. I mean, there's just so much going on. And it's one thing to practice in our ordinary daily round and context. Is so different. I mean, it's so rare for me to be outside of a Dharma context. And it's very, really, I have a renewed sense of the need for profound compassion as we all cope with the pressures and the kind of endless input in this world. So I wanted to read a couple of quotes, and then we're going to just open this up for discussion. The first one is from Toni Packer, who recently died at a fairly ripe old age. She was a student of, she studied at Rochester Zen Center and then long time ago left and established the Stillwater Center. And she's very independent in the way that she teaches, and she has a particular interest in ordinary. This is the quote, and it's kind of long. Why are we so identified with our life story? Why not just let there be simple awareness of what's happening? Happy moments, fearful thoughts, angry feelings, sad memories, work well done, mistakes made, without weaving it all into more story. Thought is always stepping into the picture as me, the main character. Thought. Damming up the streams of events with self-reference. Reacting and commenting and emoting about myself. Becoming attached to what is experienced and felt as good me, and rejecting of what is judged as bad me. This is not me. I don't like it. I don't like myself this way. We are clinging, denying, or escaping from ourselves all the time. Is it possible to observe these ever-changing states of feelings and emotions dispassionately without becoming the owner or disowner of any of them? So that's one quote. This is really the kind of the crux of practice in life, is to recognize how we attach to our experience as me. And the issue that I have always had with that particular view of, you know, seeing through this attachment to this sense of me, is that it leaves aside our human difficulties as though they are something less than, or there's something a little bit off about not being able to transcend ourselves out of our human situation. So here's another quote, Henry Shukman, who teaches at in Santa Fe, and this is the quote: "If spirituality is only about self-transcendence, about seeing through the story of me that we habitually inhabit, then it runs the risk of cutting us loose from that story so that we no longer take care of the human wounds of self and other. No matter how imaginary the self proves to be, we return to its world. If spiritual or transcendent insight doesn't lead to healing and transformation in our actual daily lives, it is clearly incomplete." So walking the line between transcending ourselves out of our human experience and seeing through kind of the dreamlike nature of the self, and which can really close the heart to all those who are very caught up. And so we walk the line between that and ourselves getting thoroughly caught up. But being able to hold all of that as the potential that we have as human beings. So, I really, as I traveled, so I was traveling with a fairly new in-law and a dog. He was very, very unhappy about being in a car for 3,000 miles. And myself, I like driving. I had no issue at all with the task at hand. And so there were all kinds of things that came up that I could be very impatient with. And I really got such a good look at all of my stuff all over again. And so I thought a lot about how, and I've known for a long time, and I hope that everybody here also knows, that when we practice, we don't get rid of our life story, our practiced ways, our habits of reaction. But being able to be aware of them as such, you know, being able to be aware of a thought as a thought, a sensation as a sensation, an impulse as an impulse. That's especially important, the impulse that comes along with reactivity. You know, to get enough room in there so that every impulse is not acted out is a tremendous bodhisattva blessing. Because we really have a choice about what we act on and where we act from. But I was thinking about the three legs of practice: meditation, and in our tradition it's zazen, which allows us not only to develop a way of being present in all of our energy states and our mind content with awareness. But I feel like Zazen has, or on my way to Zazen, has required me to become very tolerant of discomfort, not just physical, to tolerate all kinds of mind states, which I think is a basic, essential ability for us humans in this very crowded world to do, to be able to tolerate discomfort. So I was really appreciating that aspect of Zazen. Usually I think of the quiet, the spaciousness, of Zazen, but just the tolerating discomfort I really appreciated that because there was a lot coming up. And then, so there's meditation, and then there's study, and then there's precepts. So study is something that we do, really kind of enact it on Tuesday nights in our Dharma discussion, kind of systematically over time. Study the teachings. And study is not, it's not so much an academic study as recognizing what are these teachings and how do they manifest in our life? How can we use them? Because the only reason to do this practice is to transform our life into fully awake, fully aware, fully relating to the world that we inhabit. So we study. And we'll continue to. We continue to. Right now we're studying a text by Dogen Zenji, who's a very great Zen master. A lot of insight into the different characteristics of our mental experience as human beings, our consciousness. And then there's precepts, which we pretty much continually have reference to in our life, is how do we guide our behavior, our choices? What do I value? And this came up a lot for me. I really was aware of, especially the speech precepts. And we were at the Miami Zoo on a very hot and humid day. If we have zoos, it's an exemplary zoo. Because these animals have very large areas to roam and lots of private bush and rock formations to disappear into. But getting an iced drink, and the woman just in front of us had 8 kids. So they went through, you know, and it took a while, standing in the hot, hot sun. And when we got up to give our order, we said simply, please and thank you, you know. And we knew what we wanted, and we thanked her. And she said, oh, you're just the nicest people who has been here all day. And I thought, whoa, just for please and thank you. So I think that just really affected me in how, you know, in practice we can get so caught up in all of the highfalutin stuff, and that actually kindness and manners is very much part of our practice. Taking in awareness of others. We were in, some of you have heard this, we were in our hotel and in the elevator. The elevator door opened. The elevator was packed with people and 2 dogs. And there was a guy standing talking on his cell phone right in the door of the elevator. As the elevator opened, there he was. And he just kept talking. And nobody could get out of the elevator. So the beauty of awareness, you know, just stepping aside, just comes down to these simple, simple, simple things. So I just felt very, very appreciative of having made a vow to embody the teachings, because at times I was so stirred up by some of the stuff that was going on. Plus, it was so hot and humid. Physical discomfort. So to have this, like, I promised, I'm gonna stay awake. I'm gonna stay. It was very, very, very useful. So these are just some pretty simple comments about our kind of the layout of our practice. And I wanted to open it up now for any thoughts or comments from the Peanut Gallery. Do any of you ever feel quite challenged to maintain a respectful and caring demeanor.
Yeah. I'll say something.
Okay.
I just got back from a visit with a couple of friends of mine in Ashland.
Can everybody hear?
I just got back from Ashland from a visit to a couple friends of mine who I was pretty good friends with back in the Bay Area, and then they moved to Ashland, and then a few years later I moved up here. So I specifically did not even look at Ashland because I didn't want to see this woman every day. Even though she's a friend, a good friend, she's got really sharp edges. And doesn't even know it, really doesn't know it. So I knew I was going to be dealing with that, so I sat quite a bit that morning before I left, and I made sure that I was really in my heart. And that as I spent time with them and the little rough edges came out, I just sort of tried to be in my compassionate heart. And in the moment, instead of reacting and thinking, oh my God, I'm being attacked again. She does these little barbs all the time. And I think it's just, she doesn't know it. I'm sure she doesn't know it. She's a really devout Tibetan Buddhist practitioner. And yet, these little barbs come at you. And not just other people have said the same thing, but it's kind of painful to be with her for a long time. But out of this trying to be there, like be more compassionate and more awake, I heard some things from her that I hadn't heard before. One of which was that when she was 11 years old, her mother died of cancer suddenly at the age of 32 and left her and her 6-month-old brother. So I thought, wow, now there's karma. And I felt that this rush of like compassion for this person and why they feel they have to have all this armor. Sometime when she was a little kid, she decided nothing was safe and she had to defend herself. So I came out of it feeling much greater friendship for her and also friendship for myself and my ability to be with her much better than I ever had in the past.
Because you had taken yourself in hand and opened your heart in preparation,
yeah,
you were able to hear something and be affected by it in a way that you might not have been.
Yes.
Use that tool. Jen, were you going to say something?
Yeah, well, thank you. There's so much in there that I could relate to. Yeah. Well, one of the thoughts I had when you read the two quotes together, I really like that Tony Packer quote, was the token thing. But I'm just returning from Planet Montana, and and so I related to your adventures because I'm in this part of the beautiful country, poverty, and I had kind of a different like you were talking about how ideal it is here in Corvallis and, you know, kind of the idea of your, and I actually kind of had this paradoxical experience of when I'm in Montana, in a weird way, I find it easier to practice, which, and mm-hmm. I think it's just the new environment and the particular demands of my job just require me to be completely present for each household and person that I approach, and I have much harder time here with acceptance. So it's kind of interesting because
mm-hmm.
I had a completely and I almost feel more at home when I'm homeless.
Mm-hmm.
So, here, yeah, so anyway, those are just, sorry, it's a little bit of a messy presentation, but, I believe, you know, that's really true, that I really appreciate the practice with all the tools it gives us for navigating this bombardment of news and difficulty, you know, so,
kind of, have you noticed that when you go to a very different context that your ability to practice is different, is affected?
Yes, I mean, I can kind of relate to what you're saying, and my mind started thinking, like, I wonder if that's because when you're in that situation, it's more temporary, and so there's not a feeling of, oh my God, this is how it's going to be forever, and I'm going to have to accept it, whereas it's just a temporary situation. Just, you know, when you talk about driving across the country, and last summer I drove here across the country and picked her up with the dog. And we had all this stuff. I mean, we had a cat, we had my daughter, we had a second dog. Both my dogs were problems, and we had all this stuff we had to carry into the hotel room every night because we had all our valuables with us. We had everything we owned. But in a way, I mean, I could have been just really, you know, whining and complaining about it, but it was just, in a way, we just kind of did what we needed to do. But I think that would have been harder if it had been the rest of my life, I'm going to have to be doing this, you know, and in a, you know, rather than just like for a week. And just there is the newness of it, and that just brings, somehow makes it a little easier, I think.
So that's one place where being aware of impermanence is really useful.
Right.
Allows you to really just do what's needed.
Just to do what's needed,
yeah.
Right.
So similarly, I think a lot of times when I'm sitting at home, I'll be sitting and actually being there, there'll be all the interludes of, oh gosh, I've got to do this tour or that tour. Back to being there, and then, oh yeah, back to being there. And so in and out of all of those sort of obligations that you have in your normal environment, you know, are just sort of right there with you, someplace else.
Sink is dripping. Yeah, I returned to ants all over the back porch.
This is not indoors.
Rich?
We're a little different. Your thread led me to a really different place, which is Missouri. And just, you know, I don't tend to watch the news a lot, but I was really watching particular station's coverage of it, and it really got intrigued with this unfolding situation, disaster situation. But what was interesting is that, you know, somewhere as it sort of really escalated and so on, it was pretty clear that everybody was looking for acts of kindness. Certainly plenty of examples of, you know, other behaviors. And then, I don't know if it was just this particular media channel, but I don't think it was, because I was seeing the reference to, you know, particular police sergeant or state patrol sergeant who I saw, you know, tremendously vulnerable, speaking from his heart, you know, really empathizing. And it was just, and it took him, and there was one or two other people kind of emerged and just spoke from the heart and really empathized with the community, and the whole thing turned. You know, so all of the weaponry and all of the everything, you know, actually had no effect, or the drill effect. It was literally just a few. And it's not that they probably hadn't made mistakes in the way they had done their job too, but and it was just an interesting sequence to watch, because the news media was almost saying, who's going to turn this? You know, what is going to be the turning point? you know, the Tibetan monks came, you know, but, so the world, I think, the two turning points, one was the world really said, wait a second, you know, that's, everybody started watching, but I think that that's was part of it, but that, I think, brought out some individuals who then really went to a different place in their expression of loving kindness. Continue to get them through the weeks they have ahead. Anyway, I just like your zoo example, I thought it's just a few very specific people who spoke in a different way that really made this conversation save a lot of lives, save a lot of property. And
coming from vulnerability and open-heartedness was much more effective than coming from power and fear. We hope that we're in the process of growing up in this culture. Who knows? Okay, well, any other comments before we close for the day? Want to encourage us all to take up the tools of practice and really appreciate how they're not always they don't have to be a big deal. They can sometimes be very subtly applied, but they really are reliable in meeting all circumstances one way or another.
The four great bodhisattva vows can be found on YouTube.